This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم وما يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أنس بن نضر رضي الله عنه. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one of those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who missed the Battle of Badr. And after having missed this, he felt as though he felt like he wanted to do something more for the deen of Islam. And this intense regret made it such that he ensured that if there was to be another battle, then he would be from those that would do his utmost for the sake of Islam. So when the Battle of Uhud rolled around, then Anas bin Nadr radiallahu anhu, he partook in this battle and he fought valiantly until the point where he was killed. And it was mentioned, in fact, that you could only recognize him through his fingertips because of how bravely and valiantly he fought in that particular battle. Anas bin Nadr radiallahu anhu was the uncle of the famous companion Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, after which Anas bin Malik was named. And when this incident took place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in ayah in the Quran, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in ayah in the Quran that from the believers are a special category of men who fulfilled their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ. And now this tells us the fact that there is one thing to be a male. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when describes us as being His creation, He says, "Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha." He created you from a male and a female. But there's another thing to be a man. And that is the topic of today's khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Min al-mu'mineen rijalun sadaqu ma 'ahada Allah 'alayh." People that were true to their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Minhum man qada nahbah. Those that fulfilled their term, their covenant, they fulfilled it. Like Anas bin Nadr radiallahu anhu, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And those that are still waiting their turn, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they don't change in their resolve at all. As Muslims, we need to be from those that elevate to the level of, if we are a Muslim, elevate to the level of being a mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in the Quran the fact that there are some people who are muslimin and other people who are mu'mineen. As the man who goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he professes iman, a high level of faith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't say that this person has iman, but rather he has Islam. قالت الأعراب آمنا. The Bedouin man who came, قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. The true iman has not yet penetrated your heart, because in order for you to be classified as a mu'min, there are certain conditions which need to be fulfilled. For example, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you will truly have iman until your desire is subjugated beneath which I brought. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you, for example, to wake up for Salatul Fajr and you want to sleep, you wake up. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to fast the month of Ramadan, you leave your food and you fast the month of Ramadan. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you don't get angry, then you control your anger. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to be good to your parents, you be good to your parents. All of these things, although your nafs wants to do something else, Islam aslama yuslimu islaman fahuwa muslim. A Muslim is one who subjugates their will beneath that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. This is a mu'min. Now for us as believers, we need to elevate from the level of being a mu'min to being the true men of this ummah if you want to see change of what is happening around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from the mu'mineen are a special category of people, the true men of this ummah. And in today's khutbah, we'll discuss some of the qualities which we find in these true men. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, one of al-ashara al-mubashirin bil-jannah. One of those that was given the glad tidings of Jannah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Talha mimman qada nahba. He was also from those that fulfilled his covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in the famous hadith about al-ashara al-mubashirin bil-jannah, the 10 that were granted Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while they were living. We need to look at their examples and emulate them. Abu Bakr fil-jannah, wa Umar fil-jannah, wa Uthman fil-jannah, wa Ali fil-jannah, wa Talha fil-jannah, wa Zubair fil-jannah, wa Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas fil-jannah, wa Sa'id ibn Zayd fil Jannah, wa Abu Ubaida fil Jannah, wa Abdur Rahman wa Awf fil Jannah. These 10, we need to know these names. One of them was Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's regret made it such that he ensured that if there was to be another battle, then he would be from those that would do his utmost for the sake of Islam. So when the battle of Uhud rolled around, then Anas bin Nadr radiallahu an, he partook in this battle and he fought valiantly until the point where he was killed. And it was mentioned, in fact, that you could only recognize him through his fingertips because of how bravely and valiantly he fought in that particular battle. Anas bin Nadr radiallahu an was the uncle of the famous companion Anas bin Malik radiallahu an, after which Anas bin Malik was named. And when this incident took place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in ayah in the Quran, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in ayah in the Quran that from the believers are a special category of men who fulfilled their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ. And now this tells us the fact that there is one thing to be a male. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when describes us as being His creation, He says, "Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha." He created you from a male and a female. But there's another thing to be a man. And that is the topic of today's khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Minal mu'mineena rijalun sadaqu ma 'ahadallahu 'alayh." People that were true to their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Minhum man qada nahbah. Those that fulfilled their term, their covenant, they fulfilled it. Like Anas bin Nadr radiallahu an, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And those that are still waiting their turn, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they don't change in their resolve at all. As Muslims, we need to be from those that elevate to the level of, if we are a Muslim, elevate to the level of being a mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in the Quran the fact that there are some people who are muslimin and other people who are mu'mineen. As the man who goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he professes iman, a high level of faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't say that this person has iman, but rather he has Islam. قالت الأعراب آمنا. The Bedouin man who came, قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. The true iman has not yet penetrated your heart, because in order for you to be classified as a mu'min, there are certain conditions which need to be fulfilled. For example, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم says that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you will truly have iman until your desire is subjugated beneath which I brought. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you, for example, to wake up for Salatul Fajr and you want to sleep, you wake up. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to fast the month of Ramadan, you leave your food and you fast the month of Ramadan. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you don't get angry, then you control your anger. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to be good to your parents, you be good to your parents. All of these things, although your nafs wants to do something else, Islam aslama yuslimu islaman fahuwa muslim. A Muslim is one who subjugates their will beneath that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. This is a mu'min. Now for us as believers, we need to elevate from the level of being a mu'min to being the true men of this ummah if you want to see change of what is happening around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from the mu'mineen are a special category of people, the true men of this ummah. And in today's khutbah, we'll discuss some of the qualities which we find in these true men. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, one of al-ashara al-mubashirin bil-jannah. One of those that was given the glad tidings of Jannah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, طَلْحَ مِمَّنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. He was also from those that fulfilled his covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in the famous hadith about al-ashr mubashirin bil Jannah, the 10 that were granted Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while they were living. We need to look at their examples and emulate them. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah, wa Talha fil Jannah, wa Zubair fil Jannah, wa Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas fil Jannah, wa Sa'id ibn Zayd fil Jannah, wa Abu Ubaida fil Jannah, wa Abd al-Rahman Awf fil Jannah. These 10, we need to know these names. One of them was Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that man sarrahu wa yanzur ila shaheedin yamshi ala wajhi al-ard falyanzur ila Talha ibn Ubaidillah. If someone wants to see a martyr who is still walking on the face of the earth, then look to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha was the one that when the archers came down from the hill in the battle of Uhud and the spoils of war were being the Muslims were wanted to take from the spoils of war, they came down against the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the chaos ensued. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 12 men from around him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, man lil qawm, who will defend, who will come and protect? Talha, he says, ana. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, kama ant, stay where you are. Then one of another man comes and he is killed. Then there are 11 left, another man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, man lil qawm, who will come and protect? Talha again, he volunteers and he says, ana. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, kama ant. This happens time and time after again until Talha has the last one left, and then he fights the fight of 12 men defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, paralyzing his arm in the process, paralyzing and losing his fingers in the process. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he is helped by Talha being lifted up while he's wearing that armor, he says, awjaba Talha. Talha is one that received Jannah. But nonetheless, despite the fact that he was a walking martyr, despite the fact that he got this qualification, he is one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Talha mimman qada nahba. He fulfilled his covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of those aspects that we can learn from his life is, although he got this while he was living, he was one that continued to do good until his last moment. And that is why we understand, that is one point that we understand from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا يشبع مؤمن من خير حتى يكون منتهاه الجنه. That the believer is not satisfied with doing good until he gets to Jannah. The Muslim is one that if he goes for Hajj, he goes for Umrah, he's helping this person and that person, he keeps wanting to do good because he understands the purpose of this life. It's mentioned in one hadith by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that لو أن رجلا يجر على وجهه من يوم ولد إلى يوم يموت هرما في مرضات الله لحقره يوم القيامة. That if a person is one that continues to do good, and he's doing good to the point that his face is being dragged on the ground from the day he is born until the day of judgment, he will find all of that good to be insignificant on the day of judgment. We need to be from those that elevate to the level of being like these true men of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Sahaba. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. Now for us as Muslims, we unite my salah. You're not just one that prays, but you establish prayer. You're the sheikh of your group. You might find that in your company, there's one brother there that when it's time to pray, establishes prayer. He's the one that reminds you of Jumu'ah. He's the one that's standing up for the rights and he wants to establish prayer. Or within your friend group, you might be someone in high school and there's that one person that wants to pray. He's not one simply who's praying, but he establishes prayer. And there's a difference between these two. It's mentioned as an example that Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he had a slave which he freed by the name of Aslam, the freed slave of Umar. And he had a son himself by the name of Zayd, Zayd ibn Aslam. And it's mentioned about this particular person that when people would look at him, they would be reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are that person, that when people look at you, they stop backbiting. They want to pray that you come and you ruin the situation, or they're talking and joking about haram and you come into the picture and everything is changed, that this is a true man. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلِهِهِمْ تَجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. And they give charity as well, they give their money. A lot of people, they think religion is one thing and finances is another thing. And they don't think there's any correlation between the two of these things. They think religion is one thing and finances is something completely different. One thing that we realize is that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, One of the first tests that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu had to deal with were people that said, we will pray, but leave our money alone. We'll do whatever we want with our money. We're not going to give zakah. In today's context, we'll pray, but we'll continue to spend on riba. We'll continue to earn from haram. We don't care where our money came from, and we don't care where we spend it. Finance is one thing, religion is something else. What happens is that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, we need to change this. We cannot allow this to continue. And he was the harsher of the two in this moment between him and Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who's usually the harsher of the two. Umar, he says, take it easy. What does Abu Bakr say? Wallahi la uqatilanna man faraqa bayna as-salati wa-zakah. By Allah, I will fight that person that separates between salah and zakah, because Allah mentions these simultaneously and together in the Quran. The next step, be a person that is charitable. That is part of being a man. وَيَتَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. And you are a person that fears that day in which the hearts and the eyes will tremble when they are in front of their Creator. And Allah will tell you about every single thing that you did. As human beings, as a man, you need to be a person that does not fear anything like you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is many people, they fear what other people will say. As Allah says in the Quran, وَتَخْشَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. You might say that if I do this, if I become more righteous, if I don't live up to the standard of my peers and do what everyone else around me is doing, even if what they are doing is haram, then you start to fear what people will say about you. But a true man, what do they do? وَتَخْشَ النَّاسِ. This is other people. But a person who is a true believer and a true man, وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have people like this, you see what is happening in Gaza and the situation of people there. People might have their F-16s and F-35s and Merkava tanks, but this does not instill fear in them. What instills fear in them? The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. We'll conclude the khutbah with one last ayah in the Quran. The fourth ayah we'll discuss, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses true men in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الرجال قوامون على النساء, that men are the caretakers and protectors of women. Now when someone looks at this ayah, sometimes they might think that Allah is talking about this from the point of superiority. But in actuality, this is from a point of responsibility. That as a man, if you are a true man, you will take care of the women in your life. And you will be from those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. You have this quality of قَوَّامَة, that you want to protect and provide. And to understand this principle, we see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed the Sahaba to take care of the women from among them. In one example, it's mentioned that Anjasha, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was instructed by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to drive a caravan of women from one place to another place. In the camels or the horses that they had, he was instructed to drive the women from one place to another place. And Anjasha, as many men we like to do, is he stepped on the gas pedal. He wanted this horse to or camel to go as fast as it could. That when you get your license, as men, the first thing we do is we hit the pedal and we go 160, 170. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Ya Anjasha, O Anjasha, rifqan bil qawarir. Take it easy with the glass vessels. Women are not the same as men. You don't treat them the same way you treat a man. As a woman, don't treat her the way you treat a man. They are much more sensitive, they are much more fragile than men are. And likewise, when it comes to providing as well, الرجال قوامون على النساء. A test for yourself. If you have women in your life that you had an issue with, let's say, for example, a person got divorced or is on the verge of getting divorced, what do most people say? What do most men say? They say that I will not give you a single cent. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say for the person who has taqwa? He says, وَلِلْمُطَلَّقَاتِ مَتَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. You have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will still give them. You might have had this issue, but you understand your role as a man. And you take this role and you take a responsibility of this role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted you with. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make true men from this ummah. Not people that are simply male, but people that elevate to the status of, if they are a Muslim, they become a mu'min. And then when they are a mu'min, they elevate even further and be from those like Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Anas bin Nadr radiallahu an, about whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understanding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant this ummah success and victory through these true men and through all of the trials that people are facing in their personal lives and for the ummah at a large. أَقُولُ قُولِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمُ وَلِكُمْ رِسَالَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبلغ حمد وأكمله وأزكاه وأشمله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده رسوله المصطفاه المختار صلى الله عليه وزاده فضل وشرف لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم انصر إخواننا في لبنان. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين. اللهم ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى وهو حر عزيز. اللهم إنا نسألك فتحا مبينا. اللهم إنا نسألك نصرا قريبا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعيم زدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.